Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Republicans to, quote, keep politics at a minimum and quickly approve an $825 billion stimulus plan. Obama met with Republicans on Capitol Hill Tuesday to hear their concerns about parts of the package. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says it's in both parties' best interests to pass a bold plan to rescue the economy.
We'll all be in political trouble if we don't get people back to work. You know, we're all in a big boat, and we're all having to row. And if we don't get the boat safely to shore, we're all going to be in trouble.
The ranking Republican member of the Senate Finance Committee says he voted against the nomination of Timothy Geithner for Treasury Secretary because of the former New York Fed chief's past tax troubles. AFN's Jim Brown reports.
Tim Geithner apologized to the Senate Finance Committee last week for failing to pay $34,000 in self-employment taxes while he worked at the International Monetary Fund. Geithner has since paid the IRS $42,000 in back taxes and interest. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says he could not vote for Geithner because other cabinet picks in the past have been voted down or forced to withdraw because of tax problems.
I don't want a double standard, particularly when it comes to Secretary of Treasury, because Treasury Secretary oversees the IRS, and there's a higher standard for IRS employees screwing up on their taxes than there is for the average citizen. If it's known that a IRS employee willfully didn't file, and didn't file is worse than not paying all the tax you owe, but if it's willful in either case, they can be fired summarily.
Grassley says Geithner needs to meet with IRS officials in a state of contrition and apologize to them, too, for his failure to pay taxes. I'm Jim Brown.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates is downplaying congressional concerns that shutting down Guantanamo might mean releasing terrorists. Gates told a House panel that most of the detainees could easily be tried in the U.S. or sent to other countries. The embattled governor of Illinois says legal action is one possibility as he continues to fight his impeachment. Correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich says he could sue the legislature if he's expelled from office. Blagojevich told the Associated Press he expects to be removed.
Whether or not there are legal remedies to pursue beyond this, we haven't really discussed that, but I'm not going to rule out what some of those options might be.
On the second day of a New York interview tour, he continued to maintain he's done nothing wrong. He insisted that if his impeachment trial in Springfield heard the tapes of all his conversations about filling Barack Obama's Senate seat, he'd be cleared. But he says he doesn't remember whether he called the seat a golden thing he wasn't going to give away for nothing. Warren Levinson, New York.
Anxiety over layoffs may be to blame for the death of a California couple and all five of their children. Their bodies were found scattered inside their home Tuesday in a Los Angeles suburb. The father had faxed a suicide letter to a TV station saying he and his wife had both lost their jobs and didn't want to leave their children with strangers. The Girard Health Foundation has awarded $600,000 in prizes to six individuals for their work in the pro-life movement. Charlie Butts talked to one of the recipients.
She is college student Lila Rose, president of Live Action, who had this response.
Well, I was very surprised to hear I had been chosen, as there are many others that have done such wonderful work alongside me and in the pro-life movement, but it's definitely an honor, and I'm very thankful to the Girard Health Foundation and Mr. Ruddy for the generous gift, and I can use it to continue to keep up the pro-life activism and the pro-life work.
Rose is well known for her undercover work in exposing practices at abortion clinics.
I posed as young as a 13-year-old girl in need of help, pregnant by a much older man. And we've done other investigations like this to illustrate the abuses and the lawlessness that goes on inside these clinics regularly.
In those videos, clinic personnel advised her on getting an abortion without getting the older man in trouble with the law. This week, Rose will be releasing yet another revealing video of an undercover probe at an abortion clinic. I'm Charlie Butts.
Doctors say the eight babies born Monday to a California woman arrived 9 weeks early, but are doing quite well. The six boys and two girls are only the second set of octuplets ever born in the U.S. And that is American Family News to the Hour. I'm Chad Roman.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. Today we're continuing in the book of Psalms. We've got to chapter 27 of Psalms and verse 7, where it says, "Hear, O Lord," of course in the Authorized King James Version. In the Textus Receptus, or the received word, that actually uses the name of the Creator, where it has been translated the Lord or O Lord, or just plainly Lord in the King James Version. This is a great place to go if you're in trials and tribulation, perhaps you're suffering persecution, or perhaps you're just suffering for past sins, even though you've repented, still suffering the consequences of those. Perhaps you're in prison, perhaps you're hiding from persecution, perhaps your circumstance is dire. If you have the Psalms, they're a good place to go. The Messiah said, when the disciples said, "Teach us how to pray," he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And many people call that the Lord's Prayer. Many people call that the Lord's Prayer. And, turn this down. There we go. But actually, it is his instructions on how to pray. It is a template that we use for a guide, because that certainly was the intent. It certainly didn't mean for us to mindlessly repeat it over and over, as many people do, in a vain, repetitious manner. As a matter of fact, he spoke against vain repetition. Why do I bring that up? It's a good thing to pray the Scripture at times. Sometimes you just don't know what to pray. You're just in distress, or whatever your situation may be, you could open up to this psalm. And you could pray with the psalmist here. And you could take a little clue from Yahshua, who said, "Our Father, hear me, Father." And a lot of people talk about the name. And I guess perhaps one of my favorite for the name is Father, because he is our Father. And, you know, Yahshua, he made a distinction between those who are of the world, even religious leaders, when he told them, your father is the devil, because they said, "Our father is Abraham." He told them, "Your father is the devil." So who is your father, you know? That's the question. Well, hopefully, your father is, if you're born again, as the Messiah said you must be, that you have a new father, and it's the same father that he had, that you're born of that new seed, that seed of faith. But you can pray this, you know, "Hear me, Father, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said unto you, 'Thy face, my heavenly Father, will I seek.'" And you could just pray the Psalms. And sometimes it's easier to do that, to just open up the Psalms and pray those Psalms. And as you read through the Scriptures, you'll find many occasions where, you know, like if I read Romans 8:28, and I see it says there that, "For we know that all things work for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose." I just pray, I want to love you. I want to be one of those. I want things to work good for me. I want to be called according to your purpose. So there's always occasion to pray through the Scripture if you don't know what to pray. And the prayers are, you know, will rarely be selfish. Is David being selfish when he says, "Hear, when I cry with my voice"? Well, our Heavenly Father, He cares about us individually. He really does. I believe that. I believe that's demonstrated throughout the Scripture. And it's demonstrated here in the Psalms, where David is crying out. Yes, he has enemies. Yes, his hands are clean. But a lot of the things that he is suffering were the result of his own sin. And he's suffering the consequences in his flesh at the same time. Easily demonstrated through the Scripture. Because when the when the prophet pronounced the judgment of the of God on him, of our Heavenly Father, on David for his sin, it was plain that the sword would never leave his house. And a lot of what he's suffering is because the sword never left his house. And it was those of his own household that rose up against him, that took over the kingdom and made him a fugitive in a land where he was supposed to be the king. Yet he cries out and he prays to the Heavenly Father. Henry says here, his desire, David in these verses expresses one, his desire towards God in many petitions. If he cannot go up to the house of the Lord, yet wherever he is, he can find a way to the throne of grace by prayer. He humbly bespeaks because he firmly believes he shall have a gracious audience. Hear, O Lord, when I cry, not only with my heart, but as one in earnest with my voice too, and on. So we continue here in chapter 27 and verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then Yahuwah will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, wait on Yahuwah, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on Yahuwah. So a good admonition there from David to wait upon our Heavenly Father. And that is, I guess, the other side of that is to not act presumptuously, to not react and do anything that would be displeasing to our Heavenly Father, but to continue to wait regardless of what happens. And that way we show. Because, you know, the circumstances of life constantly try us to see what we will do. Will we love him by keeping his commandments, or will we out of desperation do something that goes against his law and his will? Do we love him more than the wisdom of our own mind that would make us do something out of desperation, trusting in the arm of the flesh? Whatever that desperate act may be, we are to wait on him, and thereby we're proved by him, prove that we love him and we love pleasing him more than getting out of whatever circumstance or situation we may have got ourselves into or we may have fallen into by the persecution of our enemies. We continue to wait. And remember, we have forever, and our reward will be forever. And if it takes all of our life, he may respond, like he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saved them out of the fire. But there are millions more that weren't saved out of the fire. Yet they waited, and they had to wait even through their own death. So you never know what's going to be required of you by our Heavenly Father. But you do know this. He has showed you his covenant, and you see the promises there. You keep your part, he will keep his. Chapter 28 and verse 1 of the Psalms, a psalm of David. Unto thee will I cry, O Yahuwah, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. That's how the world works today, isn't it? They speak peace with mischief in their hearts. They may pass laws for your own good, for the good of society, but mischief is in their hearts. They're thinking of how it's going to enrich them and their friends. Good intentions, that's right, but mischief is in their hearts. They're selling you good intentions when mischief is in their hearts. 28, verse 4. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of Yahuwah, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be Yahuwah, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. He is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. Yahuwah, the Lord, is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. And he will do the forever. He will do it. Psalm 29, verse 1, a psalm of David. Give unto the Lord, give unto Yahuwah. O ye mighty, give unto Yahuwah glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship Yahuwah in the beauty of holiness. The voice of Yahuwah is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord Yahuwah is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of Yahuwah is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, Yahuwah breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of Yahuwah divideth the flames of fire. The voice of Yahuwah shaketh the wilderness. Yahuwah shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of Yahuwah maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yes, Yahuwah sitteth king forever. Yahuwah will give strength unto his people. Yahuwah will bless his people with peace. A psalm of praise. Chapter 30 and verse 1. A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Yahuwah, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Yahuwah, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Yahuwah, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto Yahuwah, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And of course, this is very personal for David, because he says his anger endureth a moment. And of course, he's talking about his anger toward us who follow him, toward us who cry unto him, toward us who he gives, who he heals, because he does heal us. And he brings us up out of the grave when he applies the blood of his Redeemer to us. He keeps us alive, that we should not go down to the pit. So the psalmist says in verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Yahuwah, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto Yahuwah, unto the Lord I made my supplication. And here I see it's different. I got to stop here and look at this. It's Adonai in this instance. So it says here, and if we would read it, translating it correctly, it would say, I cried unto thee, Yahuwah, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Because I would translate Adonai as Lord or the Lord, I think properly. And also, if I use the word God, I believe it's translated correctly from Elohim to the closest English word we have for Elohim would be God. I know there are people out there that, some of them, there are several extremes. One that will hyphenate the word God when it's not his name because they're afraid to say the name because they carry on the tradition of the elders, which Yahshua talked about, where they wouldn't say his name for fear of blaspheming it. That was like all their rules that they made for keeping the Sabbath, the traditions of the elders. So we see those traditions being carried on today to the extreme because God is not his name. God is like the word Elohim in the English, or in the Hebrew, I should say. And here we have the Lord and Adonai in the Hebrew, which I believe the closest word that we have to Adonai is in the English would be Lord. I made supplication. So verse 9, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, Yahuwah, and have mercy upon me. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Yahuwah, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Psalm 31, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Deliver me by thy righteousness. And he did. He delivered us by his righteousness. Bow down and deliver me speedily. You know, when I think of that, I think, I want to learn righteousness as fast as I can, speedily. I want to learn obedience to the Heavenly Father as fast as I can. I don't want to live in disobedience. And that also, you know, reminds me also of the gentleness of our Heavenly Father and his patience with us. I mean, I guess the instant thing doesn't work because he could change us instantly. But somehow that doesn't seem like it would be right. I want to learn, but I don't want to make any more mistakes. I just want to be obedient. I want to live a life that's pleasing to him. And that's my prayer. Teach me obedience. Teach me speedily. I don't want to have to learn the same lessons over. Let me learn that the first time. What's the point in this over and over thing? Speedily. Bow down thine ear. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Have any of you ever been caught in a net? Walked right into the net. As a matter of fact, they instructed me to walk into the net. But he's pulled me out, and I'm going to stay out of the net, regardless. I found out that their net required me to break his law. So I stopped. I backed out of the net, and I stopped doing the things that were displeasing to my Heavenly Father. They have plenty of nets out there. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Do stop by there, find the email link, send me an email. If you haven't emailed me before, I would like to hear from you. Let me know you're listening. We'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
When parents weep, there is a greater love. When children lose their way, a greater love. When
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Psalm 31, verse 4, the psalmist cries out, he says, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength." Do you have any entanglements with the world? Then you're tangled in a net that they use to control you, to keep you from his benefits. They've entangled you into their benefit system, contrary to the Heavenly Father's word. You can go to Proverbs 3 there and read all about it, or you go to my Proverbs Bible study and we get into it quite in depth, the instruction there from that book of wisdom, the Proverbs. Pull me out of the net. We need to examine all of the entanglements that we have with the world system. Anywhere we have cast in the lot with ungodly, where we have one purse with them. These are the things that the scripture says we should not do. So we need to withdraw. And I know that they pass laws to enrich themselves, and we've discussed that a little bit, where they pass laws to enrich themselves, and they say, oh, it's for the good of society, it's for your own good, or it's for the children, or they have good intentions. So they pass laws where you have to take part in their ungodly benefit system. And they make you a lawbreaker against God's law, of course, to keep their law. And that's where the line has to be drawn. if they make a law saying that I can't do this or I can't do that, I will keep that law. But when they make a law that says I have to do something, and that something that I have to do causes me to break God's law, then I have a problem, because His law is higher. Negative laws are easy. You know, unless they tell me I can't do something that God requires me to do, then I have a problem. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at all of our entanglements with the world, and we need to judge them all according to God's law. We need to say to ourselves, should I be entangled in this? What does God's law say about it? Well, if God's law is neutral about it, then you don't really have to do anything about it. But don't deceive yourself simply because it's convenient. And that's what most people do. Most people will capitulate just for convenience sake. What are they going to do? And all of them are looking forward to the futurist fantasy when some Antichrist character, like the movie Left Behind, is going to rise up and he's going to get out his soldiers with guns and they're going to say, receive the mark or die. And they're going to go, oh, I guess I have to die because I can't receive the mark of the beast. If it's inconvenient now, and just the inconvenience causes you to capitulate, what makes you think you're not going to capitulate when it costs your life? Or when they drag your wife and your children out before you and say, receive the mark, or we're going to torture them. We'll rape your wife and your children and kill them in front of you. You think you'll capitulate then? If you capitulate for convenience now, what makes you think you're going to stand under terrible pressure at that time? Yes, so examine all of your entanglements in the light of His Word. And put off all of those things that are against His law and against His Word. And forget none of His benefits. Because most people will do it just for benefits. Or because it's inconvenient. Well, because of course the world makes it inconvenient to live in their society without capitulating to them. That's kind of how it works. They're going to say, oh, you don't want to go along with the crowd? That's okay. We're going to make it easy for you. Not for a minute. Don't even believe it. And they do it. And here the psalmist says, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily. Okay, well, the illustration is perhaps someone lays a net privately and hides it under some leaves and branches, and so that you may perhaps walk onto it. But if they lie to you, if they lay the net before you and they say, this is a good net, this is a net for the benefit of society, this net is for your own good and your children's, this net is for the benefit of us all, we're only laying this net for because we have good intentions for you. Meanwhile, they're passing insurance laws where they all have one purse and they're requiring everyone to pay it. But it's a net, and they want you to walk into it. Social Security is such a net. They want you to walk into it. They want you to volunteer for it. And once they get enough volunteers, then they can force everyone else. And the force is coming for everything soon enough when the lamb-like beast starts to speak like a dragon. And I believe if they have a constitutional convention, which may be coming to a neighborhood near you shortly, I think that when they actually get rid of that, the band that binds them here, and even the illusion of it will be gone, I think you'll see something terrible will come up, because the beast will begin to speak like a dragon, and its image will be cast into the image of the first beast. And we know what the first beast did for centuries. It hunted down and killed Bible-believing Christians. It killed men for believing in the Bible. It killed men as heretics for printing the Bible, for disseminating the Scripture in the language of the common man. And also, at the same time, it killed people who believed in another God, the Jews, favorite target of the first beast throughout history. And of course, Islam, which the first beast created, to control and use, which got out of hand. I hope you're getting the picture. But it's coming. The scripture says it's coming. Yeah, we could have a reprieve. Yes, perhaps we could turn it back. But there's only one thing that'll turn it back if we have time for a reprieve. And it's not by the activism of big mouthed people who keep pointing at the symptoms of sin, because sin is a reproach to any people. It's righteousness that exalts a people or a nation. Since our nation is not being exalted, it's the sin that's the reproach. But they keep pointing at the results of sin rather than the sin. And they become famous because people don't want to look at their own sin. They're not going to change things. It's those who start to practice righteousness. Those who love the Creator and keep His commandments. We are the ones who could bring a reprieve, who could extend the peace such as it is by practicing righteousness. But even a remnant in Israel could not save Israel. So it gives me little hope for America that there would be enough righteous people. I look at the society, I look at the culture, and it looks like we're headed down the same road. There's the same road that Israel headed down when they went to desolation. Pull me out of the net. So we all have to get out of the net. That's the only hope, really. See, all of the big mouths out there, that are the so-called truth patriot movement, they're all saying, stay in the net. You can practice unrighteousness. They're saying the law is nailed to the cross. But it's those guys over there. And it's this group over there. And then people don't change. They continue to practice their sin and embrace the spirit of the age, the zeitgeist. That's part of their truth movement. Well, that's the real spirit behind most of them, even while they proclaim godliness but deny the power thereof. So, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. Yes, they lied to me. I believed them. I walked into the net. But He opened my eyes. I saw the truth because I studied His word for myself. I didn't just take their word for it when they preached in the pulpit or they pointed at these people or those people while they enjoy the benefits of staying in the net themselves. They enjoy the convenience of the net of sinners having one purse with them, enjoying their benefits. But I say with the psalmist here, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For Thou art my strength. I don't need their strength. I don't need them to take care of me when I get old. I don't need the strength of their benefits and their convenience. He can sustain me. The psalmist continues, into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me. He has redeemed us. So why do we look to the world? Why do we stay entangled in their net? By wisdom, we can become disentangled from the net of the world. We can become free from that net. And yes, we may have to suffer persecution. And there is a persecution. You lose privileges in the world when you disentangle from their net. But He says, into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Yahuwah, God of truth. He is the God of truth. Another entanglement is the 501c3 not-for-profit incorporated status with the state. They entangle you to control you, to control your ministry, to control what you say. They want you to compromise, and one compromise leads to another. And once you become hooked on those tax-deductible donations, they have you right where they want you. Oh, and if you break their rules, they come after you because they don't like you taking advantage of their privileges, of their conveniences, of the devices they have set up to promote their ideas, their agenda, their false religion, their false beliefs. They don't like you using their devices against them. and breaking your covenant with them. Because to use their devices, you have to covenant with them. Now, if you can use their devices against them without covenanting with them, then go ahead and do it. That's like taking the weapon from your enemy and using it against your enemy. That's one thing. That's a different thing than staying entangled in their net. Because they've got you in their net, and they'll use everything they can against you. Chapter 31 and verse 6. I have hated them that regard lying vanities. And their media, the mainstream media, even the alternative medias are full of lying vanities. He says, but I put my trust in Yahuwah. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, and thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, Yahuwah, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, Yahuwah. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, let me not be ashamed, Yahuwah, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. You know, I like that. I'm praying that one. Yes, Heavenly Father, let the lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Let it be so. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. You know, but I have to addendum that prayer with, if perchance, Heavenly Father, if there's hope, let them repent and call upon your name, that they be enemies no more. But if there's no hope for repentance in them, and only you, Heavenly Father, only you know whether there's hope for repentance in them or not. Because he knows all things. He knows all things. And if there's no hope, yes, let them be silent in the grave if there's no hope for them. Because all they can do is bring upon themselves more suffering for eternity. And all they can do is persecute the righteous with their lives. The little bit of enjoyment, the little bit of good that they'll experience for the rest of this life, is that worth the added misery and punishment that they'll receive in hell? So we do them a favor by praying them into the grave if they are beyond hope of repentance. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Are you hidden in the secret of his presence from the pride of man? It's a good place to be. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Doesn't say he's going to keep the strife of tongues from wagging, but he keeps us secretly in his pavilion from the strife of tongues. Yes, though they wag. Blessed be Yahuwah, for He has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Now, you ever feel that? That he doesn't hear? But he says here, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. He hears. He sees. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Oh, love Yahuwah, all ye his saints, for Yahuwah preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Yes, let everyone be rewarded according to their works. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in Yahuwah. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 1, a psalm of David. And we have a Hebrew word here, a maskil, a didactic poem, an instructive poem. See, I don't know why the translators did that. They didn't translate that word. They just left the Hebrew in there. A psalm of David, an instructive poem, it says in the Hebrew. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, in our mortal flesh, we still carry around this corruption, and our sin is still present with us, but it is covered, and our transgressions are forgiven, and they're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Blessed is the man unto whom Yahuwah imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And, you know, all I can say is, as I can pray, I want to be one of those. You know, let me be one of those who's blessed, because my transgression is forgiven, my sin is covered. Blessed, because iniquity is not imputed to me, in whose spirit there is no guile. And what does guile mean? Perhaps we should look at the word guile there. It means falsity, deceit, idleness, slack, slothful. So it could cover all of those things. Treachery, remissiveness, in whom there is no guile. Well, these are none of the things that I aspire to, so I hope I could say there is no guile. In my dealings with my fellow man, I pray there be no guile, that I be cleansed from all guile. Let me be one of those, Heavenly Father. In verse 3 of chapter 32, when I keep silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Yahuwah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And here, I believe, I see the importance of acknowledging our faults, our sins, our iniquity before our Heavenly Father. First, we have to acknowledge them before ourselves, and before we can acknowledge them before Him. And I believe that's the hard part. Most people don't want to see their own sin. And, you know, that's like that that Pharisee, one who they would call a hypocrite, who was standing and praying, and he said, thank God I'm not like that sinner over there. He was blind to his own sin, his own iniquity. But the sinner was over there on his knees saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what David is expressing here, that same sentiment. Well, that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to Cross the Border, and remember, there's nothing more important than that you cross the border into His kingdom and live forever. Hallelujah.
Who is this King of Glory that
soothes me with his love and haunts me with each hearing. Love is softly spoken words, and my conscience a reminder of forgiveness there.